sharpest John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
You're in the loop, Sports Radio 610 on a Reaction Monday after the Texans fall 24-22 to the Packers. There's a lot of things to talk about in the course of this, and you guys want to hit all of them. I appreciate that. Also, I appreciate the folks that, you know what, you might be onto something here from the 832. The Texans lost because all last week, In the Loop said they were going to lose it every single day. You guys put that in the air, and they lost by 2 points. I need y'all to be more positive. I appreciate, one, that you think that I have that kind of power, myself and John and Figgy.
Hey, we was right then. If that's the case, we was right.
Yeah, but I mean, look, one thing about that.
That's a win right there.
Yeah. I don't know if that's the way that I want to win. I'm going to be completely honest. But yeah, we're going to be honest about the things that we see and try and give you as real of a perspective
as we could.
Yeah. No, I definitely didn't.
I thought it would be a good high-scoring shootout.
Hey, I guess the positive thing is you ain't got to face the Packers no more. You ain't got to go through the Packers unless it's through the Super Bowl.
Yeah, right. I mean, your two losses have been to NFC teams. So I guess if you want to find some silver linings in that, you can with a 5-2 Texans team. But yeah, speaking of getting that real, I kind of want to get your perspective, John, of this game and OG's passing thoughts.
Yeah, man, let's start with this one.
Experience, wisdom, opinions, barbecue sauce. Our guy Lopez has it all and shares it with you.
I used to go into the clubhouse and I just...
It's time for the OG's passing thoughts.
Tell me a story, OG.
Your imaginations, you're just going to have to use that. Never going to say what I said. I feel like there was maybe not a bad tone, but a bad vibe set from before the game even started. Stephon Diggs said, I'm going to fight all y'all. He said, I'm going to fight.
I'm putting cases on all you players.
he went Riley Cooper on him.
He said, I'm going to fight, the way the kids like to say, everybody. I'm going to fight everybody. But here's the thing. All of a sudden, Tank got into a little dust up. Titus Howard got into a little and mixed it up a little bit.
CJ was talking that talk at some point.
CJ was talking that stuff a little bit. I feel like everyone was wired for this one from the start, which can be a good one. But you know who else was wired from the start? The Packers. Like, they, you know, he, Stephon Diggs kind of poked the bear. And oh, by the way, I don't know if he won that matchup with old Jair either way. So it's kind of just a bad, weird vibe, maybe. Another passing thought here. D'Angelo Ross reached unplayable status in this game. Like a big third down conversion. The big touchdown, which I'm going to get to in my next passing thought, so it's not all on him. Bad plays. The Packers just feasted. When they needed a big play, they dialed up, and Jordan Love looked for D'Angelo Ross.
Yeah, it was clear that they had made the decision that they were going to try and target him in some ways. I think there was one play in particular that I think a lot of people, and even myself, I'm not going to put myself out of this, in the moment was like, ooh, that looks bad. And and looking at it again and obviously having the benefit of talking to someone like Clint Sterner, it's like, oh, actually, that probably is more on the safety than it is on
him.
I'm going
to get to that
right?
Next.
Like where he was playing his technique properly. But at the very least, even if you want to, like, without even talking about, like, the actual play that he had, you could tell that there was a concerted effort to look around and go, hey, that is the weak spot that we can attack.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel good. I don't know how much I feel about calling him unplayable just yet.
During the game, he was unplayable.
They definitely missed Kamari Lassiter. That you can absolutely
say. This was my thought. This is the first thing I thought about when I kept seeing him.
Dog, take him the f*** out the game.
Well, he played 100% of the snaps. Don't you at least even try to mix it up? I get it. Kadar Holman, Chris Boyd are your options. But don't you at least try to mix it up a little bit?
Every big play was made on this mother.
All right, so here's where I got his back a little bit. I'm with you.
Yes.
Eric Murray was not a lot better. And on the big touchdown that was given up, quote unquote, by Ross, Murray took the bait. Like, he was way out of position at safety. And it was a simple look in the middle of the field by Jordan Love and then go to the left. So I am not going to put that one solely on Ross by any stretch. Eric Murray was not much better.
Yeah, and the cover two, they had a couple of routes go deep. They had a seam route, and then you had that nine on the outside, and they got Eric Murray. Maybe he was looking into the backfield, got caught by the eyes, and then, you know, D'Angelo Ross playing a trail technique, thinking he has safety help over the top. boom, ball goes over top, touchdown. And so, yeah, I think that might have been the drive, if I remember correctly, where the Packers did not have a single third down. It was just boom, 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 boom. Yeah. And that was a drive that I called offensive play caller drive. I think Matt LaFleur, I've seen him do this before.
Yeah.
Like Matt LaFleur is very good at, you know, really making it tough on a defense. And it felt like that was the drive capped off by that play where it was very evident that, hey, look, Matt LaFleur, he does this. He gives them a clear schematic advantage when he is out there calling a play.
Yeah, and on Ross, you know, we said he did all right in last week, but he only had one target. He had a lot more than one target yesterday. Another passing thought here. When you're down your number one wide receiver in this kind of game, you cannot drop a touchdown. Tank Dell, that was huge. That was enormous. That was the momentum shifter. And oh, by the way, Tank Dell was 0-for on his targets. Got to get more out of Tank Dell.
Yeah, at this point, some of the conversation about him, you know, getting more, you know, involvement in the offense, how do you get him involved? Some of it is like the plays have to be made. And it felt weird because it felt like a carbon copy of the touchdown that he had last week.
Mm-hmm.
And you just got to reel those in, right? Like you need the plays when you need them. And that was one of those that you absolutely needed, getting 3 instead of 7 there. Especially, it would have been a huge flip where you know, the Packers decide to take the football to start the game, right?
Yeah.
Like that is a demonstrative move. That is bold in a lot of ways. You got a turnover, and it would have been great to flip that instead of them getting 7 to start the game and set the tone. You set the tone with 7. And it felt like in some ways,
for the Packers.
Yeah, that really, really lessened the blow that you could have had early on.
Yeah. We talked about Dalton Schultz a lot last week, and then he had a nice play. Was it 20-something? No, I forget how far it was, but made a nice play, and I said, all right, I'm going to put
in this game?
Yeah.
26-yarder.
26. I thought it was 28.
Over the middle.
Yeah. And I was like, all right, I'm going to put a pin in that. Then I pulled the pin. His quarterback was under too much pressure. But here's the thing.
I'm sorry, 28 yards. It was the one.
It was 28. Okay, yeah. That's what I thought it was.
My bad.
When your quarterback is under that much pressure on the run, his outlet, which is the tight end, has to come up with more than one catch. That's the outlet. Where's Dalton Schultz getting open? Where's, you know, whether it's LaPorta or Kelsey, you know, sort of scrambling and getting open to help your quarterback. Dalton Schultz had one catch. You got to have more than that.
Yeah, you just did not have very many balls thrown out in general. Like, he had 21 attempts total, and 7 of those went to Stephon Diggs. It just felt like you didn't get very much in the course of this. And, look, I think we'll have more opportunity to talk about this, and maybe this also circles back to the offensive line. C.J. Stroud, uncharacteristically bad, even when he had a little bit of time or when he was able to generate some time, he had at least one. I could think of off the top of my head 2 or 3 just completely errant throws. That made
one
me
flat
think,
in the dirt on third down.
Made me think, is he a little shell-shocked by the pressure that he's under
I would
in this
be.
Game? I mean, career high amount of pressure
be.
In this game.
No
and it seemed like it also affected his ability to get the ball to his wide receiver.
Yeah. All right, so this is one that I kind of alluded to with you and Figgy before the show, and I know you guys are going to fall on the other side of this. But hear me out, famous last words.
Uh-oh.
So
it's never good when somebody says hear me out.
Right. Because they know.
No, we don't.
they know they're wilding.
I think you need to hear me out, and you'll be nodding your head in agreement. Jake Hansen had a real nice play, staying at home on a reverse, right?
Yes, absolutely. Right? And open field tackle.
Yeah, open field tackle. Neville Hewitt had several nice plays, had the interception, I think led the team in tackles, et cetera. But here's where I'm going to differ with a lot of people that thought, and look, Neville Hewitt had a good game. You know, if you just say yes or no, yes, he had a good game. But Josh Jacobs averaged 6.3 yards a carry. And the two middle linebackers, which are Jake Hansen and Neville Hewitt, cannot have a running back average 6.3 yards a carry. You saw Tony Romo drawing up the lanes a couple of times. Wide open lanes with those guys getting blocked out of position on the second level. Dude, they had good, well, more so Neville Hewitt had a good game, but they got gashed in the run game, man.
Man, we doing nitpicks already?
No, this is not a nitpick. Yep. This is not a nitpick.
Yep.
Dude, you saw it.
This is the third and fourth linebacker on the team.
I know.
Team,
no, I'm
actually,
just,
in a way, fourth and fifth.
I'm being nice.
Yeah, but still, okay, you know, we're sitting here going, oh, Neville Hewitt, great game. Hey, great play, Jake Hansen. Yes, 6.3 yards a carry. Can't have that.
Yeah, there was definitely a few times where they got gashed, where, you know, like Neville Hewitt just misses a tackle in the gap, where Jake Hansen kind of gets gets juked a little bit by the offensive play with the motion and a little bit of an angle route and all those things, right? Like, I think that there's a couple of plays there. I think overall, understanding the circumstances, and you know, I'm willing to give them a level of credit for handling up in a way. And maybe this is also framing coming in. I had concerns about them in coverage, and they handled that fairly well. So yeah, and they made some plays, and I think ultimately when it came down to missing the starters that you were, I think that overall I'm willing to give them a, you know, like a thumbs up on the performance. But yeah, I'm not going to act like they didn't have plays that they probably could have made better, or plays that would have been made if you had Aziz out there, if you had Christian out there, and even sometimes if you had Henry.
Funny thing you mentioned that, because obviously Tim Settle played well. But I wondered last week about Danico Autry and his snap count, you know, just getting thrown right back into it. He only played 48% of the snaps. So Danico Autry was still just getting his feet under him.
Sure. And funny enough, like, not just the number of snaps, I don't feel like I had much occasion to recognize that Danico Autry was on the field.
Yeah.
There was a point of time during the game where I was trying to be very conscious of, is that Danico? Is he in there? And that left me very quickly. The name that kept the person and the number that kept flashing was Tim Settle.
Yeah.
And so yeah, that one mattered a lot more to me defensive tackle wise than Danico Autry.
Three more here. The first one was just I literally put down on the dock what I usually do as I'm going through the game. I put my passing thoughts down, then I kind of formulate them. But I'm just going to tell you guys what I wrote down. Which wrestling move do you think Neville Hewitt is going to try next?
Hey, man.
Yeah. When you mentioned him having a good game, I was going to say having a good match.
Yeah.
The way he out there wrestling.
Five-star match. Like, hey, Neville.
What's his next move? So he's got the suplex yesterday.
People's elbow. Like, dog, what are you on, man?
You need a DDT.
DDT.
And the real frustrating thing about that was, like, that was probably going to be a stop. Like, that was probably going to be a hold for the defense.
Oh, for sure.
And that, if we talk about the margins that ended up turning what could have been a win into a loss, that was one of them, right? Like, you had a few moments where you turned a hold into a continued drive that led to points. And that was one of those. And it's as simple as, hey, bro, you got him wrapped up. Either hold him wrapped up.
Yeah.
Don't kill him.
What are you suplex? It would be one thing if it was one of those penalties that we know that the refs be wilding on, they be tripping on.
No, this was...
We know that once you flip that man over your head, you are getting a penalty every time.
As soon as I seen that, I'm like, please don't throw the flag, please. I'm like, damn.
All right, I'm going to end it on a high note. I got two high notes here, all right? I said it last week. The ball just finds Kalen Bullock. That dude, he's in the hunt.
Can we say the ball finds him? If he put up a like 70-inch vertical, he got up.
Yeah, but I'm saying he's just one of those guys.
Nah, he found the ball.
Yeah, man.
He plays center field. In fact, I think Sean and Clint asked him after the game if he played any baseball. He did, and he played center field in this show.
I think they brung it up on the broadcast. They mentioned he was a former, he played some baseball too.
Last one, and I'm saying this just falling on the sword. I'm saying it for you and Figgy's benefit. Okay, Tommy Townsend. I see you.
Big punt, baby.
I see you, Tommy Townsend.
That is a spiteful punter right now. John Lopez? Yeah. Word?
Yeah. That was potentially one of the biggest plays of the game. You know, nailing down deep in their own territory, because then you got the ball back.
Yeah, special teams did some solid stuff in the course of this. But, yeah, definitely quite a few errors in other places for this team in what was a 24-22 loss. It took you off of the pace of your best record in franchise history. What was that, 2012, where you started 6-1, in fact. And there was real hope that you could have gotten it done. And even with all of the negative play, you still had an opportunity to, unfortunately. Brandon McManus, a dude who we talked about a little bit last week, just signed to the Packers. He did you in at the very end. And it's a loss in Lambeau. All right, you're in the loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to our question of the day. Is there hope still for this Texas team? Do you still have hope? And if so, where? That's our question of the day. 713-572-4610. Give us your hope with the Texans. We'll do that next.